said it again. Praise the Lord, everybody. Let everything that hath breath give God some praise this morning. Amen, amen, amen. I want to say it is so good. Wow, finally I'm done with all my traveling for the summer. Want to say thank you to Miss Donna, who did an amazing job last week. She delivered her first message. We're so proud of you. Great job. I'm excited. There's so many amazing things coming up this fall. We are really working hard to make this a special time for all of us and for this church. I've been praying. Part of me going away is not just me leaving you guys and kicking it with my children, although I like them quite much. They're special little people. But a part of that is time for me to pray and reflect on what is God saying to our church. What does God have for our church? And we believe that September is a natural time for the start of new seasons. There's certain seasons that just naturally come and start. September and January are two of the big kind of fresh start seasons. September is always fun because the kids go back to school and you feel like you got a chance to really get things together in your life. You ever feel like that in September? Like, I know people do spring cleaning, but I like to do cleaning right before school starts because I feel like, you know, I get my life together. I don't always have my life together, but if I can clean up my house, I feel like my life is a little bit together. You know what I'm saying? So I believe the Lord has given me a word for this season, for this house. And I'm going to take this week and next week to teach you about it. And then on September 15th, it's National Back to Church Sunday. And so we are doing an all-out blitz to invite people to come to church, to invite people who maybe used to be in this church to come back, to invite people who've never been to church to come back to church, because it's a day that we want to encourage people to come and connect with God all over again. And we're going to be giving away free t-shirts that day. Like, two people were excited. Y'all don't like free? That's the best four-letter word. I can use some other four-letter words, but that's a good one, free. We're going to be giving away free t-shirts that day to everybody who shows up, just to say thank you for being here, and then we're going to have a breakfast for everyone. I'm not promising bacon and eggs, but it's going to be something to eat. We're going to have a breakfast for everybody afterwards so we can fellowship and connect and have a good time. That's going to be on September 15th. And then we're going to be announcing all of the fun things that God's going to be doing this fall in the life of this church on that day as well. So it's going to be an exciting, fun day. But as Pastor B said, you don't have to wait till that day to invite people. As a matter of fact, that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today. All right, so if you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verse 3 through 8. This is a passage that I've probably looked at over and over again in Scripture. It is one of my favorites. If you've been a part of Operation Solid Lives, which is our discipleship program, you've studied this passage to no end. And we spent weeks studying this one passage. As a matter of fact, Jesus taught in parables, but he said about this particular passage, he said, if you can't understand this passage, you can't understand anything else I'm going to talk about. It's that important. And yet, as important as it is, as many times as I've seen it, this week in our daily Bible reading, how many of y'all read your Bible? I ain't going to ask if it's every day, but just do you read it? All right. Well, in this church, we strive to read our Bibles how often? Every day. As we strive to read our Bibles every day, the Lord began to speak to me about this passage all over again. Now, I want to start off by just, as you all found Mark chapter 4, verse 3 through 8. Before you stand, I want to say a couple things. Because it is a new season, September 1st, it's the beginning of the year, I want to make sure that this church is reminded about what the vision of our church is. Our vision, mission, and purpose can be found in four simple words. And I know we haven't maybe talked about them in a while, but let's see if anybody remembers. If you're new, don't worry. This ain't a test for you. You didn't know it. But if you've been here for a while, what's the vision, mission, and purpose found in four simple words? What are those four words? Good gosh, we're doing a good job if y'all can remember that. Real change, now go. And what that means is, real means we're looking to help everyone experience a connection with God, an encounter with God, an authentic. Everybody looking for something authentic nowadays, aren't you? Don't nobody want to come to no fake church. Come on, somebody say amen. I don't want to be in no church with fake people who hypocritical. Now, I might be hypocritical, but I'm going to tell you I'm a hypocrite. I ain't gonna front about it. Ain't nobody got time for that. So we want you to have a real, authentic connection with God, and then change. Change happens in community. We believe community happens. It's so powerful, small groups. So we're going to be starting small groups coming up, starting September 15th. You're going to hear more about all the small groups that are starting, and we've got something for everybody. I'm going to give our clue to our junior high and high schoolers. Your very own lovely, beautiful, gorgeous pastor is going to be doing a small group just for our junior high and high schoolers. So we're going to have some fun together for our junior high and high schoolers. And for those of you who like to work with junior high and high schoolers, see me, and we'll be working with them this fall. There's a lot of other small groups coming up. So real change, real happens, authentic experiences where we encounter God. Change happens in community. Now we want people to start serving in the life of our church because we believe that you grow. People who serve stick around longer. It's amazing. I can't believe it. Because once you're committed to serving Christ, God does a work inside of you as you do a work in blessing other people. And then go tell somebody else about Jesus. So our vision is real change. Now go. We're actually working to get y'all some new things in your hand so that you don't forget it. We're working to put some signage up by September 15th. Y'all pray for me that we can get it all done. But we're working to make sure that we keep that before us because our vision is so powerful. The reason I love those four words is because for us, that's what it looks like to be a follower of Christ. Someone who is authentically connecting with God, in particular on Sunday mornings, someone involved in small group, someone serving in church, and someone telling other people about Jesus. If you're doing those four things, we say you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right. I like that because it makes it simple. You know, some people say, what do you mean to follow Jesus? And you don't know. Well, I don't know. I go to church. No, it's more than that. This is what we believe it means to follow Jesus. Now you're ready for the word. I got a good one. Ready? All right. Would you do me a favor? Stand to your feet. Mark chapter 4, verse 3 through 8. Some people say, why do you make you stand up in church so much? Why we got to stand up, sit down? Stand up for a long time. You know why? Because our attention spans are so short that somehow moving up and down kind of keeps us focused for a little bit. Matter of fact, today I might even make you do some work in the middle of my sermon so you don't go to sleep on me. Somebody say amen. All right, hold your Bibles or your electronic devices high in the air. We're going to say our Bible affirmation together. If you don't have a Bible or electronic device, hold your hand up in the air. God's word is powerful. He understands. Let's go. This is my Bible. It is God. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Amen. All right. We're going to be reading Mark chapter 4, verse 3 through 8. We're going to be reading it loud and loudly together. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. If you have a different version, hey, no big deal. There are a lot of good versions out there. But for the sake of us sounding like we understand each other, we're going to be reading all from the New King James Version. If you don't have that version, the words will appear on your screen. All right. You ready? Let's go. Listen. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun, because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you right now that you are producing a harvest from every person that's in this room. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that there is a growth that's going to happen. I praise you, Lord, that seed is going to begin to fall on good ground and that that good ground will produce a harvest for the kingdom of God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this message, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Before you see to turn to your neighbor and tell him it's time to grow. Oh, y'all don't say it like you mean it. Turn to somebody else and say, look here. It's time to grow. Amen, amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. All right, so today the word that the Lord released to me is it is time to grow. And the Lord told me it's not just about it's time to grow the church. It's also time for us as people to grow. We want to grow the church, but we want to grow the people in the church too. I believe that God is saying he's getting ready to do something spectacular in our lives, but in order for us to experience it, to have it, to become what God wants us to be, we got to start growing. Now, let me ask you a question. Wouldn't it be strange, or wouldn't you be concerned if you had a pet or a child, or even if your hair stopped growing? Most of y'all got more concerned about your hair stopped growing than you did about the kid growing. If your pet, your child, or your hair stopped growing, it would be a sign that something just ain't right. But it's interesting because we ignore the fact that we ourselves can stop growing. We ignore the fact that our families can stop growing. We ignore the fact that even our church can stop growing. Sometimes we become so complacent with where we are in life that we just hit a plateau. Because maybe I think it happens because we've already reached the goals that we had. You know, when you was in school, you had a goal to get out of school. So you did, you know, you was working because I got to get out. And then when you got out of school, you was pushing yourself to grow because you wanted to get a job. You were learning new skills. You was getting new ideas because I need to get a job. Y'all remember how hard you worked to get the job you got? But now that we got the job, we don't work hard to keep growing in the job that we have. I think about how hard you worked when you was dating somebody to get that somebody. Oh, I'm about to mess up some marriages. But then you get married and you get complacent. You don't even halfway comb your hair no more. Want to go on a date? What? We ain't did that in 25 years. Why? Because once we get somewhere, for some reason, we naturally stop forgetting about how important it is to keep growing so that we can get better and we can do better in what we already have. We stop striving for things. And I think about it in the life of this church, too. I mean, when we first started this church, it'll be 20 years next year that this church has been going on. First of all, that is something we ought to praise the Lord for. Because when we started this church, nobody thought we would be here. And when we started this church 20 years ago, almost 20 years ago, what was funny is we were meeting in the YMCA in a little tiny exercise room with mirrors. And I loved the mirrors because the mirrors made it look like we had a lot more people than we really had. And we would meet over there, and we'd get up in the morning, we'd set up, and we would just be praying and believing God that God was going to bring people. And so we were reaching out to people. We were telling people about Jesus. You got to come to Jesus. Why? Because we wanted to grow the church. And then we moved from there, and we kind of got kicked out because they were like, we need our exercise room on Sunday mornings to exercise now. We said, how dare you? And God said, I got something bigger. We were like, yeah, we went to Ocala Middle School. And, man, we thought we were doing it at Ocala. Because we could seat about 75 people. We was like, come on, Jesus, we're growing, we got this. And we were trying to reach people to try to grow the church to get into Ocala. And then when we left Ocala, we thought we was really doing it when we moved over to FCC off Piercy Road, because then we didn't have to set up and break down the church every week. And we was like, ooh, because we worked so hard to set up and break the church. But then we wanted to grow so bad. We was pushing to tell other people about Jesus. And we still wanted our own space because we got tired of using and having to ask to use a facility on a Sunday. Then God blessed us to be in this facility. And I'm going to be honest, church, it's not your fault. It seemed like I worked for 20 years to get us into our own space. And some kind of lull just hit. And the Lord has been awakening inside of me. Look, church, I didn't bring you over to this building for you to sit there and be comfortable and say, this is enough. I want you to look to your right and to your left at every empty seat in this place. It's not as many as maybe it's been on some Sundays. It's maybe less than some others, maybe more than others. But every one of those seats are supposed to have somebody in them. We don't have seats in the church just to look cute. Oh, look at all the seats. The church is so pretty. Look at all them pretty empty seats. Good Jesus, that's some pretty fabric. We don't want to see the fabric. We want to see the people in the chairs. And so God is saying, look, it's time to grow. It's time to grow this church, and it's time for you to grow. It's time for you to grow your families and your finances. It's time for you to grow in every aspect. John Maxwell says this, the only guarantee that tomorrow is going to get better is if you grow today. That's it. To grow is to change and develop over time. Growth signifies movement. Growth says that you are not dying. Look, if you're not growing, you're dying. Period. That's the way it works. John 15:2 says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. If a tree is not bearing fruit at all, God says, that's it, I'm cutting it off. Why? Because it's dead. But every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Why? Because he's looking for even more fruit. So even if we're bearing fruit, we can look around and see this room is, we're bearing fruit as a church. But you know what God is saying? That's cool, but that's not enough. I want you to bear more fruit. I gave you more capacity so you can reach more people. Do you not know that each and every one of us have a capacity to do something more than what we're already doing in our lives? We think we've maxed out on what we can do. Let me tell you something. Nope, you haven't. Do you know you can earn more money? Somebody praise God right there. Nobody else got that. No, nobody. Somebody said, bless his holy name. Yes, I can write. Look, we don't even get excited anymore that we have the capacity to earn more money. It's because you know what most of us think when we think now of earning more money? When you were younger and you thought about earning more money, you got excited. But when you was older and you thought about earning more money, you know what you think about? How much more work I got to do. But you know what? God didn't put a cap on your abilities and say, this is it. This is all you can have. As long as you're still living, as long as you're still breathing, God wants more from you. God wants more for you. And God wants to get more through you. It's time for us to start getting excited that God's got something greater for me and that he's not done with me. I don't care if you're 12 or if you're 120. If you are still here, God ain't done. And I just want to settle in a little argument in your mind, because in your mind you're saying, but Pastor, you don't know. This is pretty good for where I've been. And God is saying, that might be pretty good, but I called you to an abundant life. This ain't all of it. There's so much more. So many of us get our families, and we got our families, and we're so happy. You know, we get along. But we don't understand that God wants more for our families. You might have a good relationship right now, but God's like, I want you to have the greatest relationship possible with your wife and with your children. I want you to be more connected. I want you to be an example to other people. And we're sitting back like, no, we good. We don't have to work at it. Not only do we not work on our relationships with our spouses, we don't even work on our relationships with our kids. Grown and still in the house. Oh, she hit me today. Yes, I am. Why? Because it's time to grow. Look, church, God said, every tree that doesn't bear fruit, I'm taking off. If you're not bearing fruit in every area of your life, you better start asking yourself the question, God, are you about to cut some stuff off? Because that's what he says. But every tree that does bear fruit, he's like, I might have to take you through some changes, but we're going to make sure you produce even more, that it gets better. Because God's desire, God is the best investment agent ever. Because when God makes an investment, he expects and guarantees a return. God put an investment inside of you with your gifts and with your talents and with your intellect and with your ideas and your creativity. And God expects that what he put into you is going to produce something on the backside. And you might be saying, but Pastor, I messed up. God don't care how you messed up, because he still expects a return on what he put inside of you. And you sitting back going, but I can't do this because I'm not this or I'm not that. And God is saying, but I invested in you. You don't believe me? You remember the story of the parable of the talents? Well, God gave these guys, the man gave these people talents. Gave somebody five talents, and the guy produced five more. Gave somebody two talents, and the guy produced two more. And when the master came back, he was like, well done, good and faithful servant. But the one he gave one talent to, you know what he did? He buried it. You know why he buried it? Because he didn't think the talent was worth much. Because I didn't get five like everybody else. I didn't get two like that other person. All I got is this one measly talent. I'm just going to keep it here. Look, some of y'all are looking at your gifts, and you're like, but I ain't like so-and-so. I ain't like them. I can't do what they do. I can't be like so-and-so. I can't be like Tyrone. You know, Tyrone can throw down. He can cook. Tyrone got them skills, you know, on the music stuff. Tyrone, you know, Tyrone, the man. And everybody looking at Tyrone, and God is like, if I needed a world full of Tyrones, I would have made them. But I made you unique because there is something specifically that I need you to do. And I have gifted you and crafted you, and I have even allowed your life experiences, as jacked up as they have been, to shape you so that you can do exactly what I have called you to do. Pastor, you don't know my history. I don't care what your history is, because I know God can use you in spite of your history. You don't know what mistakes I made. You know what? Your mistakes will become your message. Your mess can always turn into your best message. I don't care. Get over it. Come on. I'm going to help you grow up today. Get over it. Shut up and grow up. Stop using your past as an excuse and a crutch as to why you can't be who God called you to be. I know a whole lot of men who didn't have fathers. And some of them will say, because I didn't have father, I didn't know how to be a good daddy. So they went off and they just did what they saw their father do. And people will say, well, can't nobody blame you? You didn't have no example. Well, hold up. I know a whole lot of men who ain't had no daddy who are standing up and doing the exact opposite of what they saw, and are great men of God who are serving their families and loving their community and doing what God's called. Don't tell me because you had a jacked up past, you can't be better. Stop using it as a crutch. Okay, that wasn't my message. Not only does God desire you to bear fruit, I ain't even gotten to my points yet. This is just the opening. Not only does God desire you to bear some fruit, but John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. So if you're bearing fruit, good. But if you're not bearing much fruit, we still got some growth. See, I look at this church and I say, we bearing fruit. Look at all the people in this room. Wow, y'all are amazing. I get shocked that people show up every Sunday. I'm like, they came back. Blows my mind. Especially when you're crazy as I am. You're like, wow, they keep coming back, Jesus. Hallelujah. Watch this. But God says, yeah, that's cool, but that's not what I called you for. I called you to bear much. He says, does this look like much to you? I said, it looks pretty good, God. He said, that's not much. You think what you got going on in your life look pretty good now? God said, that's not much. There's so much more. He wants us to bear much fruit. So today I want to tell you that it's time for you to grow, and that it's time for this church to grow. And I want to challenge us as a church this morning in this season of it's time to grow. So I'm going to be looking this week and next week at the parable of the sower. And as I was reading through this, as I said, it was so unique. But this week, what I'm going to talk about is I'm going to talk about principles of the sower that are going to help you grow. And next week, I'm going to talk about principles of the seed that will help you grow. So today, I'm just going to focus on the sower, okay? So the story starts out, and I'm telling you, I was reading my Bible. I read this so many times. I've probably been reading this scripture. I've been saved since I was seven. I ain't been reading since I was seven, but I've been saved since I was seven. So I probably read this 25, 30, 50, 100 times in scripture. And I stopped because the first verse in verse 3 says, listen. You know, it's interesting. What color is that in your Bible or on your device? Red. So if it's in red, that means Jesus is saying. So I stopped this week and I said, wait, Jesus is telling me to listen. It's something I need to listen to. He got something important he's going to say. And he goes on and he says, behold, which means listen, watch. The word behold means watch what I'm about to show you. It's almost like saying, look here, look here, look here, look here. Watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. Got to show you something. That's what Jesus is saying. And he says, a sower went out to sow. And I stopped at the two words, a sower. I said, God, why are you having me focus on this sower? God said, do you even know who the sower is? And I was like, ain't it you? I mean, like, if you think about the passage, God went out, sowed some seed, some of the seed produced, some of the seed did. God said, no, it ain't me. He says, I didn't go out and sow seed. I spoke a word and you came into being. And I told you, be fruitful and multiply and go and have to be. He's like, so who do you think the sowers are? Sower ain't me, the sower is us. And the Lord starts showing me that there has to be some characteristics of us as a sower if we want to grow. Here's the first thing I want you to know. I want you to know that a sower is an influencer. The sower is an influencer. Well, Pastor, how you get that out of this passage? Think about this. If you can go somewhere and do something and change the environment, then aren't you an influencer? If you drop some seed on the ground and the seed sprouts up, did you not change that environment? Have you not become an influencer to that environment? Huh. If we are the sowers, then we have a characteristic inside of us where we are supposed to be people of influence. To be influential means that someone or something has an impact on or shapes how people act or how things occur. Sociologists tell us that even the most introverted people will influence 10,000 other people their entire life. Even if you don't like talking to people, you can influence 10,000 folks. Can you imagine those of us who are extroverted and like to talk? We can 10x that. I can influence a million folks because I like to talk. If you halfway like to talk, maybe not as much as the most deepest introverted person in the room, you can influence probably about 50,000 people, if not 500,000 people, if you consider your entire lifetime. You have influence. And I hear the Lord saying, you have to stop acting like you don't have any influence. You have to stop acting like what you say don't matter to nobody. How many of y'all seen what's happening with Popeyes over this last couple weeks? For those of y'all who don't know, Popeyes launched their new chicken sandwich over the last 2 weeks. And apparently this thing blew up so bad, they made like $23 million the first week. Just off this one little chicken sandwich. Anybody try to go buy that little chicken sandwich for $3.99 and they kept telling you it wasn't there? How mad were you when you showed up to Popeyes and they was like, we out of chicken sandwiches? How you gonna be out of chicken? It's Popeyes. I have such a problem with that. But you know how this whole thing started? Because I said, you know what? Whoever did this is a marketing genius. I was like, I got to figure out what happened. You know how it started? One Instagram post. It was something weird. It was like, can't make, period, complete, period, sentences, period, chicken, period, so, period, good. And a picture. And Chick-fil-A spouted back by saying something like, really? Like some word. And here's the post that changed everything. Popeyes tweeted back and said, y'all scared? And it blew up. Like it straight blew up. One post by one person cause growth of a company to $23 million in a week. You're a believer. One word by you can influence and change everybody around you. Don't think your words don't have power. Don't think you're not an influencer. An African proverb says, if you think you're too small to make a difference, you must not have ever spent a night with a mosquito. Because the mosquito, come on. The mosquito gonna make a difference that one night in your life, isn't it? It's gonna be annoying, but the principle is still the same. One person can stop an injustice. One person can be a voice for truth. One person's kindness can save somebody's life. I want everybody in this room to begin to see yourself as that sower who is a person of influence. Everybody around you, you have the power to influence. Maybe it's your sister or your brother. Maybe it's a cousin. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's your students. Maybe it's your teammates. Maybe it's even the clients you have on your job. These are just a few of the types of people that we have an opportunity to influence. Now, it's interesting that you may not think you have influence. But how many of you got a chance to try the Popeye's chicken sandwich? Like three of us? How many folks you tell about how good it was? I took my first bite because my son, I had to tell y'all this story because my oldest son, who's not here today, he tried for a week and a half to go get us some chicken, Hungu. He tried 10 different times at 3 or 4 different stores to try to get us chicken in a week. And then Friday, he was off school, and he woke up. Some of y'all are like, is it that serious? Yes. Yes, it is. The struggle was real. He woke up. He didn't go to school on Friday. Popeye's opened at 10:30, and he woke up, and he came in my room at 10:15. He says, I'll be back. I got to go get some chicken. I was like, bring me one back. So he left and he went and the signs were up. And the sign said, we out of chicken, no more chicken. And he said some guy knocked on his car window and he said, bruh, they got chicken in there, go get it. So he goes into the store and he sees like they got tons of chicken sandwiches in the back. He was like, they lied to us. He was trying to keep the crowds back. And he said, how many spicy chicken sandwiches you got left? He said, 5. He said, give me 5. And he came home and he brought those chicken home. We all sat to the table and we said, on the count of 3, we're going to eat this together because we don't want one to fill it before the other one hits it. We took that chicken, first bite, it was like, oh, man. One kid fell out the chair, the other kid's eyes was rolling. I was sitting there like, oh, Jesus, this is heaven on earth. And I took a picture and I posted it on Facebook. And I don't know, I probably got like 100 likes or so just from that one. And I thought to myself, one person has influenced so many people on my Facebook page was like, I got to go get that chicken sandwich. I got to go get that chicken sandwich. I got to get that chicken sandwich. What happens when we say, the Lord says, taste and see how good the Lord is. And if I could have that same reaction about a chicken sandwich, what must it be like when I think about the goodness of the Lord in my life and how amazing he's been and how much he's loved me in spite of myself and how I've messed up over and over again, but he still loved me. And I've now tasted and seen that the Lord is good. How come I can't tell other people about how good God is if I can tell them about how good a chicken sandwich is? How many lives could I change if I felt that same sense of passion? You are an influencer. Don't sit and tell me you're not an influencer. If you can tell somebody about chicken and make them go buy it, you can tell somebody about Jesus and make them come to know him as the Lord and Savior of their life. You are an influencer. So who do you influence each and every day? I want you to think about this at some point. If you got a pen and paper right now, I want you to just start thinking about the names of the people you influence. Maybe it's a family member. I'm not talking about who needs Jesus. I'm talking about who do you see every day that you already have influence over? Because sometimes you try to qualify. Ooh, maybe they don't need Jesus, so I ain't got to say nothing. No, I'm not asking you to qualify. I'm just asking you who you got influence with. Because I want to prove to you that you got a circle of influence a whole lot bigger than you think you got. Every teammate that you play with. All you young people who play on teams, you think God put you on those teams so you can show off your basketball or your baseball or your soccer abilities. No, God put you there because you're supposed to be an influencer. You're a sower. You're supposed to be sowing something different in that team. They're supposed to see something different inside of you. They're supposed to hear something different that comes out of your mouth because you're an influencer. That job you got, if you're on a job and there are thousands of people in your company, your influence is thousands of people. Because you can say something or do something in that company that can change the people around you. Come on, if you just start thinking about where you work If you think about your neighborhood where you live, I guarantee you right now, we already got thousands of folks popping in your mind. Tell me you're not an influencer. You are a sower. You're an influencer. Now, here's the second thing I want you to see, the second principle. I started looking at that, and he said, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. I said, well, that makes sense. I mean, if that's your job description, you a sower, you ought to go out and do some sowing. And here's what the Lord showed me. He said, here's the second principle. So the first principle is that the sower is an influencer. The second principle is the sower is intentional. The sower is intentional. Check this out. The sower went out to sow. That sounds so simple. Wait. The sower intentionally went out to intentionally plant seeds so that something would grow. He had an intention, or she had an intention when he or she went out. Watch this. You must be intentional about growth. We must be influencers or sowers who are intentional about growing ourselves. We must be influencers or sowers who are intentional about growing our families. We must be influencers or sowers who are intentional about growing our businesses or our careers. We must be influencers, sowers who are intentional about growing this church. We must be sowers and influencers who are intentional about growing the kingdom of God. We've got to get intentional about it. The sower understood who he was. I am an influencer. Everywhere I go, I create influence. People move. They either go in a positive or a negative direction based upon what I say or do. I am an influencer. But the problem is, influencers have not been intentional about what they are supposed to be doing when they're out in the world creating influence. So influence is happening, and you don't realize how you're impacting the world around you because you haven't been intentional about impacting it for the kingdom of God. Growth doesn't just happen. If we're going to grow, we got to grow on purpose. Growth is not an automatic process. I know some of y'all think growth is an automatic process because you think about kids. You think they're going to grow up whether you like it or not. That's not really true. Because if you stop feeding a child, they ain't going to grow. You still got to do something intentional to help them to grow. Nobody ever grew by accident. Some of y'all, yeah, I grew five sizes by accident. No, you had some help on that one. We get older by accident, but we don't get better by accident. There's a difference between getting older and getting better. People intentional in their growth begin to see the benefits of their intentional efforts. James Allen, the author of As a Man Thinketh, said this: people are anxious to improve their circumstances, but are unwilling to improve themselves. They therefore remain bound. You have to go out of your way to figure out, how do I intentionally grow myself, and how do I intentionally grow this church? If you just think people gonna show up in these seats by doing nothing, you're sadly mistaken. It ain't gonna happen. It's not gonna happen. Some people find this church by Googling us, and they think, well, it was just an accident that I found you. No, that was intentional. We tried to create our website in such a way that it would draw people in. Pastor Alex did a great job on that years ago. It's still doing its job. People are still coming to this church because of the internet, because of the Google searches. We have intentionally, Ellie helped us to get involved in this thing where people who search in our area for certain things will see our church. This is intentional. This wasn't some accident. This is intentional. But you got to realize something. I can't be the only one being intentional about growth. And our leaders can't be the only people intentional about growth. Everybody sitting in the seats got to start getting intentional about it. If everybody in this room got intentional about growth, let me tell you something, this room will explode in a month. It don't take long. Now, come on, overnight, I'm declaring it's going to grow like that. So are you being intentional? I got a whole lot of questions about are you being intentional, but I don't have time to get into it. Do you have goals for your own personal growth? Do you have goals for your family's growth? We talk about growing your family. What's important for you and your children and your spouse this year to grow in? What area? Is it family devotion time? Is it time to pray together? Is it time to just talk and sit at the table? You got to be intentional about that. I intentionally set up how many vacations I'm going to go and spend time with my kids each year, because I know we move so much that I need time just to sit where we ain't got to go anywhere, just to talk. I'm very intentional about that. As a matter of fact, in the fall, usually about January, February, I get intentional about planning our summer. What's summer going to look like for us? What are we doing? Why? Because summer is a time of growth in our household. Kids think it's a time to do nothing. Oh, no, no, bro, it's time to grow up in this crib. You're going to be doing some SAT prep. You're going to be working on a business. You're going to be doing something up in here, but you ain't going to be sitting up in here on me doing nothing all day, because you got to grow. Because if you're not growing in the summer, what you doing? You dying. Try to go back to school after not having done nothing all summer. It's hard. Are you intentional about growing this church? Are you intentionally inviting other people to church? We got flyers out on the table, out in the lobby. Be intentional. Grab some and think about who you can give some to. Next week, I'm actually going to be bringing you something, a seed that I'm going to talk to you about how you can use to in your community, in your neighborhood, using your personality. Some of y'all are like, I'm introverted, I can't do this. Don't worry, I got you, introverts. Next week, I'm going to be giving you a seed that you can sow in your community to tell other people about Jesus. But until then, go get those flyers. Okay. Got to be intentional about growing. Okay, here's the last point. Verse 4, and then I'm going to get out of here because it's time. Ready? It's the last point. Some of y'all are like, I hate when preachers say well, I'm almost done, because they ain't almost done. But I really am. Here's point number. Here, watch this. Verse 4. Put it on the screen for me, Crystal. Here we go. And it happened as he sowed. And I stopped. Nothing happened until he sowed. So the sower was an influencer. The sower went out with the intention to sow, but nothing happened until he actually did something. So here's the third point. The first point is the sower has to is an influencer. The second point is the sower must be intentional. And here's the third point. The sower got to take action. If you don't take action, I don't care how good your intentions are, don't nobody care. You ever been married and your husband missed your anniversary? Don't answer that if you're in this room. Watch this. And he said, but baby, I meant to take you out. I had this whole thing planned. I just forgot. Don't nobody care if you forgot. Don't nobody care if you had a whole, don't nobody care if you had reservations, because you had all them intentions, but you ain't do nothing with it. Intentions don't mean a whole hill of beans if you don't do nothing with them. As he sowed, it's important that you understand how important it is to take action. All the kids in the room, everybody that's in this room got intentions to study for their tests. Everybody, don't act like y'all ain't got no intention to study. You, even if you got an intention to study and you don't, you just like, I got an intention, I'm going to study. You lie and tell yourself, I'm going to study. It's so funny because I met a friend. We had Northwestern play Stanford yesterday. Y'all are supposed to cheer. I went to Northwestern, so that's a big deal. Northwestern played Stanford here at Stanford, and I got a chance to see a lot of my old friends from college. And it was so nice. We got to hang out. And one of my friends, we popped up, and he lives in Oakland. And I haven't seen him for 4 years since I last saw him at homecoming. And he said, you know what? This is sad. He said, you live 45 minutes from me, and this is the first time I'm seeing you in 4 years. He said, we're going to do it this time. I said, look, let's stop lying to each other. We ain't going to do it. We had all the intentions of the world to get together. Y'all had that? We have all the intentions of the world to get together. He said, well, look, I lost my phone. Let me give you your number. I said, yeah, man, I don't have your number. He texted me, popped up with his name on my phone and the whole last conversation I had. I said, and in there, we said, we got to get together. Did it matter that we said that 4 years ago? No, because we never did it. And I told him, I said, we can keep lying to each other, or we can just say, well, if we do the best we can. Let's not even play with this. He said, yeah, we shouldn't play with it, but let's try. I said, okay, cool. What am I saying to you? You can have the intentions, but if you don't do nothing with it, it's going to sit dormant for forever. There are some people in your life who need Jesus now. And you may be the only voice, the only influencer, who God has given intention to tell them about Christ. But if you don't take action, that seed will never produce what it's supposed to produce in their life. They will remain bound. They will remain broken. They will remain struggling in their marriages and their relationships. They will be disappointed and depressed. And guess what? You have the answer. But until you take action, none of that matters. So you got to take action. Our world today is filled with a whole lot of people with good intentions. Look at the politics. But it don't matter. You got to do something. The greatest gap in the world is the space between knowing and doing. And I read this article. I'm going to close with this. The sower took action, but I read this article in Thought Catalog this week, and it says, if you're unhappy with your life, here's the title. If you're unhappy with your life, it's your responsibility to change it. And the article goes on to say, if you're unhappy, move, because if you're meant to stay in one place, you should have had roots instead of feet. If there's some area of your life that you're not happy, if you look in this church and you say, man, it should be more people in this church. If you look in your family and you say, man, our family should be closer. If you look in your job and you say, man, I should be doing something different, then you better stop standing in roots and start using them feet and get to moving. It's time for action. We were meant to take action. Come on and stand to your feet today. I want you to know this. You were not meant to take action tomorrow. You were not meant to take action 5 days from now. You were meant to take action right now. What's my challenge to you? You are an influencer. You have an intention to tell someone else about Jesus or to grow yourself or your family. My challenge to you this week is take some action on it. Start today. Make a phone call today. Don't wait. I want you to, if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, you might say, that might be real hard for me to grow on my own and I need some help. If that's you, I want you to just slip your hand in the air. I want to pray for you. You know, I'm not asking you to come down front or do anything like that. Just put your hand in the air right where you are, and I'll pray for you right where you are. All right, no problem. If that's you and you're like, look, God, my feet been growing roots. It's time for me to loose these roots and start walking, take some action. I want you to come to the altar. I want to pray for you, and then I'm going to close. Come on, come on. You're like, it's time for me to take some root. I've seen the empty chairs. I've seen stuff in my own life that I need to do, and I've done nothing about it yet. It's time for me to stop being stuck and take some action. If you're not growing, you're dying. If you're not producing fruit, you're dying. If you're not producing much fruit, you're out of the will of God. So come on to the altar today. I want to pray for you. Amen. Would you extend your hands to those at the altar? We thank the Lord for your obedience to the call. I want to pray Colossians 1, 9, and 10 over you. I'm giving you the scripture. And when you get back to your seats, I'll tell you again so you can write it down. But my prayer over those of you that are here. Come on, join me for prayer. Father, thank you for this message. I thank you for the promise of growth. I thank you, Lord, that as the sower sowed, some of that seed produced a harvest. Not all of it, but some of it. I thank you that some of it produces. I praise you, Father God, that you have a purpose and a plan for each person that's here and that you are not done with us. Lord, I pray Colossians 1, 9, and 10 over this for this reason. Lord, since the day that we've heard about you, I pray this over them. And I do not cease to pray this over them. That they may be filled with the knowledge of your will for them. That they know, oh God, all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Lord, that they understand that they are people of influence and that you have an intention for them to take action so that other people may come to know you as Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and so that they can begin to grow to be the people that you've called them to be, so that their communities can transform, their families can be transformed, their finances, their health, everything that they do can grow and change. I thank you, Father God, that you're not done, that you're a God who have called them here for such a time as this to begin to spark in them the desire to understand that they are influencers created to grow. I pray that they may walk worthy of the Lord and that they may be fully pleasing in him, bearing fruit in every good work. I declare over these people that they will bear fruit in every good work. I declare over this church that we will be a church that's growing and we will bear fruit in every good work. I declare over every empty space in our heart, in our lives, in our homes, in this church, that we will bear fruit in every good work. In the name of Jesus, if you receive that, I want you to begin to put your hands together and give him your best praise.